Welcome to The Treasure Hunt, my personal attempt to share my musical curiosity with you. My name is Bas Wiegers, and I'm a conductor. So in the past podcasts, I've spoken to or spoken about composers who I already knew quite well. But how does the process of this treasure hunting really work when you don't know a composer yet? What kind of road do you travel? In this episode, I will try to take you on a journey how it happened in this specific case, working on the music of Chaya Chernovin. I spoke to Chaya on Zoom also, and I will include some bits of our conversation in this podcast. Roughly, there are four phases in the process of discovering a piece of music. I start alone, then I try to talk to the composer when they are alive, then I work with the musicians, and then we all play this for an audience. So let's start alone. Starting alone, it even starts without scores. First, I try to listen to some music by the composer and try to read some background material on the composer. In this case, that's very easy. Lots of Chaya's music is available online, and lots of articles are published, even on her own website. This gives a first inspiration on how to read the scores that the Münchener Kammerorchester has sent me, and how to start sort of sniffing and smelling what is inside those scores. Let's first listen to a bit of the piece Fast Darkness 3, Moon Words, that I'm also preparing. Here, it's excellently played by the Temporum Ensemble with Kai Grinde-Miran conducting. So after listening to some music, I start reading some text. I start finding extra information about the composer. Let me just directly quote something that was written on Chaya's website by Trevor Bacha here. Here comes the quote. "The elasticity of rubber, the growth of crystals, the back and forth movements of a pendulum, and many of the other investigations discoverable in Chernovin's scores, attest to a central position of importance that the composer gives to the physics of motion as a determinant of composition. This sort of compositional thinking provides the composer with a laboratory in which new details of musical structure can be invented and explored, metaphorizing the motion of music according to an understanding of chemical processes." End quote. Now, I am not a musicologist or a gallery curator. I'm just a simple musician, so I have to read those texts twice to really understand it. But we cannot speak about art without things getting vague and complicated quite quickly. So I swallow my desire for simplicity, and I really make an effort to understand what it means for the pieces, and for me, and for you, maybe, as an audience. What I deduct is that Chaya Chernovin is inspired by things from physics, from nature, or from other extra musical sources to create something that we can put on a stage. This is not entirely crazy. I know this from Xenakis and from Cage, and one could even argue that romantic composers or classical composers got their inspiration from much more than just musical scores. In reading a couple of these texts and hearing Chaya speak in interviews, I realize a lot of it sends me in the direction of sound worlds that I imagine as time sculptures. Sorry if I don't have a better word, time sculptures. Anyway, I start to understand Chaya's music as the physicality, the presence in space-time of sound. What those sounds mean depends very much on how we perceive them, just like with sculptures in a museum or like something fascinating that we find in nature. So I will leave the meaning for now on the second plan. I realized, though, that it's a little bit different from when I would do a Mozart aria. In an aria with a text, the text gives us meaning, a narrative, and music can either support this narrative or contradict it. In that case, I would always first take the narrative as a starting point for my musical treasure hunting. But in this case, I think my first concern will be to focus on the construction of the sculpture, the shaping and the detail in the material. The craftsmanship's love for this material is probably a key for me to start bringing this music into a concert reality. So I make a note to myself at the beginning of this process, almost before I've looked at one single note in the score. And this note is, be aware of texture, of color, of shades, and also more metaphysical entities like shifting energies, contrasting dynamics, things like this. We will probably have to shape all this with great care. This was another excerpt of Moonwords. Now, in my process, I get to the next stage, which still happens alone, at home, but now with the score. I have a first general look at the score. This happens on an intuitive and on a technical level at the same time. To be honest, in my brain this is a little bit of a mess, but I've come to accept this mess. So I start with just a glance. This is meant to get a very sort of general image of what the piece could be. Not with the right notes in my head and all the right techniques, but a very sort of global vague idea. In this stage, it's very important to refrain from quick judgments. It's really like meeting a new person. And I tell myself not to jump to conclusions. It's important to find clues for me to start a relationship. It could be a very loving relationship, or it could be a little bit more technical. That doesn't really matter yet. Sometimes there are even recordings of the pieces, like in this case. And in those cases, I'll probably listen to them quite early in the process. It definitely helps to get an idea of the material, and I can speed up considerably the whole process of getting to know it. In this case, we already heard the moon words, and there is also an excellent recording by Quatuor Diotima of Anea Crystal, from which you hear the beginning of seed number one. Now, I more and more get into really studying this course, the reading and imagining the sounds. It just gets more and more detailed. There can be a lot of side roads also. In the case of Anea Crystal, I ended up reading the Wikipedia article on Ionic crystals, which I didn't understand at all. But apparently this piece is based on the construction of Ionic crystals. You can have a look if you want, but it didn't really help me. The process can be quite erratic though, and studying Chernovin, you can end up either reading a novel by David Grossman or a book about quantum physics instead of studying the actual notes. Now, after some deeper studying, I want to chat with the composer. The old guys are dead and buried, but in the case of Chaya Chernovin, the composer is very alive and very approachable. So I email her and we plan a Zoom call to talk about her music. This is a really fun part of the preparation. It's a human to human, picking someone's brain and trying to find out what they imagined, how I can realize this, and what amount of freedom I will be given during this process. It's coming to all kinds of understandings. I have to understand her world, and she has to maybe understand my pragmatic questions. I talked to Chaya, covering doubts, mistakes, questions, everything that arose during my studying, or even questions that I'm foreseeing from the musicians, which we need to clarify in the first rehearsal. She allowed me to record the Zoom call and use it for the podcast. Just to give you an idea of the chat one can have with the composer, here are a few snippets of our talk. I just fade in and out some moments to give you an idea.
Ooh. Hi, I don't know why you can't see me. Maybe what's going on? Oh, I know why.
There is something there. Oh, you have much better weather than I do.
And look where I am. I'm in such a beautiful place. Look at this.
Oh, wow. Where is this?
This is Balagisco.
Where?
It's an artist colony in Italy.
Beautiful. You it's have so a good beautiful. Life.
So beautiful. What did I want to say to you? Can you hear me well?
Because I can hear you perfect.
Okay, because it's so noisy. It's crazy.
No, it's fine. And is it recording? Did you have to press something that is recording?
Not yet. No. Try again.
Genau. Okay.
And we'll see in general that in my work, after you reach a certain level with the players where they feel secure, there is always place for you to, even if I don't write, you know, ritardando or accelerando, there is a certain small band of freedom that is really necessary there.
Yeah, it looks like it has space.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good. This is all.
You know, in regard to the tuning, maybe it would be very helpful to tell them that I do not use anything which is counterintuitive. So I do not use, for example, the three quarter up
Yeah,
or
yeah.
the three quarter down, because my thought is not about tuning. It's about making the note a little bit out of place down, or making the note a little bit out of place up.
Yeah.
And because the instrument is not used to those placements, you really get a different color.
Yeah.
Once it really touches the quarter tone, you really have that special color to the pitch.
Yeah, it's a
And
different resonance.
Exactly. So that's what I like. These are like, you know, like small shelves about the main pitch. You have the kind of the
Heavy. Oh yes, the here I have a bit of an issue in as much later we get to the heavy part from 116, the very slow tempo, and then
116, just a second.
This is page 14.
Oh yeah. That is a place that I will remember forever.
Why?
If you allow me to tell you a small anecdote, we take 2 minutes. So we played the sextet in New York, and the conductor is playing that, and I tell him, Rick, please slower, slower. He says, okay. He was about 54. So he goes to about 48.
Ah.
And I say, Rick, may I ask slower? And he said, Chaya, the reason I'm not doing it slower is because my players are not going to be able to maintain it. So I said to him, do me a favor, go slower. So he goes to 40, or you know, 38. And I say, no, no, it's not enough. And then the players really cannot maintain it. They go to 30, and he says, and I said, please do it. And he says, it's not, you hear, it's not happening. And I said, just try. And it was absolutely not happening. And then I said, no, let's do it in 20. And they did it in 20, and suddenly the whole picture gelled. So it was such a strange lesson for me, because, you know, it became weaker and less expressive as we went down. But when it reached to the most down, suddenly, boom, it's like
great.
all the, yeah.
That's great. It's very, it's sort of what Cage says with boring, huh? If you think it's boring, it's probably not long enough.
It's exactly true. It's exactly true.
Nice. Okay.
If you are doing something radical, you cannot make it sweeter. You really
I mean,
have to.
The problem, the organizational problem, is of course when you beat 20,
no
one knows where you are.
Yeah. You know.
Okay. I think I can start with this.
Perfect.
I think that's good.
All right.
That's enough information for the first two rehearsals.
I believe it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Enjoy,
thank
go
you
out and
so
enjoy
much.
The sunset.
Well, it's here.
Too late? Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
oh,
look.
Jesus, so beautiful.
So beautiful. All right.
Enjoy.
Bye bye.
Thank you
See
very
you
much.
soon.
See you
Bye.
soon. Ciao. And now, after all this preparation at home, we get to the stage where we need to dive into the music with the musicians. We have to start fine-tuning what I imagined, what Chaya informed me with, and what the musicians give me. Sometimes adapting my imagination, sometimes adapting what the musicians do. This is a very dynamic process. How dynamic it is depends on the music and on my collaboration with the musicians and the composer. Now, as I'm recording this podcast, I just came home after a first day with the musicians in Munich. So we had the chance to work on two of the pieces already. It's such an exciting moment to be in that rehearsal space and start reacting on each other. It's almost like a dance. Because of course, the musicians also have their own road into the pieces. They have worked on their own voices at home, trying to imagine for themselves what their parts could be and what the total could be like. And yes, there is also a lot of humor during these rehearsals when things don't work immediately, when people are unsure what to do and something sounds weird and needs to be clarified. For me, it's always very important to keep this process light and entertaining, even though we are talking about very serious things and we are trying to achieve something of beauty. Today, we did lots of stuff. We worked on some special colors, we did a lot of tuning, we worked on some weird rhythms, we worked on the balance in the ensemble. All of these things are completely impossible to do at home. And some of those things are even impossible to imagine for me at home. But now, I'm confident that tomorrow when Chaya arrives, we are on the right track. I'm sure she will make some nuanced changes. I'm sure she will bring some extra input into our minds or correct things that maybe we didn't get completely right. And then the last stage of getting to know a piece is that we play it for an audience. To be in a hall with curious people listening, people who are giving their attention to this particular moment, makes another complete change to the music. It charges the music with a different layer because it's the only moment where the music becomes a unique, once-in-a-lifetime experience. The immediacy of it defines the music again in a different way. On how to listen, I think this music gives us many different possibilities. We can enter the music on evocative layers. We can enter trying to grasp it on communicative levels. How are the musicians interacting? We can focus really on the pure sounds and what they do in space, what those sounds do in space. In the case of Chernovin's music, I think one can listen to it on all these levels and have different experiences. I'm super excited how this week develops, but for this podcast, my path ends here. The good news is that next year, with the MKO and Ilya Gringolz, we will do a brand new violin concerto by Chaya Chernovin. So Chaya and me and the MKO will bring everything that happens this week as an experience to the collaboration next year. And then the podcast will not be getting to know Chaya Chernovin, but continuing the work with Chaya Chernovin. And so our job, hunting for treasures, will continue to develop. Thank you for listening to The Treasure Hunt. I'll put links to the pieces in the show notes. If there are subjects you would like me to speak about in this podcast, contact me through my website. Please follow this podcast on your favorite platform. And stay tuned for the next episode.